The following content is from Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.
Thank you all. You make beautiful things out of us. Well, we started this series on times of refreshing a little while back and began the very first week by talking about refreshed by His presence, His Word, and study. And we used the soils, the parable that Jesus gave about the soil that was hard and the soil that had wheat and tares and the soil that had the cares of the world in it, and learned that if we're going to be refreshed by God, we've got to be in touch with God, so I have to make a commitment to be in God's Word and to let His Word affect my life. The second week, we went home that night and we suffered a horrific tragedy here in Las Vegas, the shooting at Mandalay Bay. And so the next week, we asked the question, how do you find refreshing in the midst of chaos and crisis? And we discovered that it was a question David had asked thousands of years earlier when he said, God, how do we behave when the righteous suffer? And God told David, you worship me. And so we learned that worship means I go to God and I tell Him all that I feel. I tell God every emotion that I have. I don't have to hold anything back because God's shoulders are broad. He can take anything I have to tell Him. He already knows it's for my benefit anyway. And then we recognize that we can go to Him for help and that He will walk with us through the journey. The third week that we talked about, we came back to the disciplines of the Christian life and said, if I want to be refreshed by God, the best way is to give Him the first words of every morning, the first day of every week, the first dollar out of every paycheck, and the first opportunity to give direction in every decision. Because when I'm in touch with Him, it refreshes me. And then last week, our friend Brett Capace from Liberate Church came, and I know that you enjoyed Brett. He stayed with the theme a little bit, but I was not here, so I can't tell you everything about his sermon, but I know you probably enjoyed him. And today, we're going to talk about trust. Who do you trust? The ability to trust people in America is continuing to decline. We are seeing a dramatic decline in trust in our society. We are skeptical of just about everything and everybody. Customers do not trust businesses. Employees do not trust management, and nobody trusts the government. We are in a period of decline when it comes to trusting others. Why? Because people are people and they will let you down. That is the bottom line reality. You will be let down by other people. Unfortunately, when you trust someone and you are let down, it leads to stress in your life. And when you get to the point of feeling like you can't trust anybody, that leads to a greater stress, and I want to tell you why. Because when God created you, when God made you, He hardwired into you a need to trust. Why did He give you that capacity? Because He wants a relationship with you. And the only way to have a relationship with you is if you trust Him. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. So you have this God-shaped vacuum in you that can only be filled when you trust God. Here's the problem. We want to put other things in that vacuum to see if they fit. But they don't fit. And we become more and more frustrated, feeling like, well, I can't trust anything. I want to talk to you this morning about the significance of trusting God, because if you don't trust Him, you're going to live a disheveled life. See, the Bible teaches very clearly, anytime you trust any person or anything more than God, it's an idol. And number two of the Big Ten, don't make any idols. Don't do it. You see, you have to ask yourself this morning, what am I trusting? For my self-worth, for my self-esteem, for my motivation, for my information, what am I trusting today? Are you trusting your diploma? Is that going to see you through? You're trusting that beautiful wife or husband on your arm, that they're going to give you self-assurance and self-esteem? What are you trusting? Because anything that you put in first place in your life, whether it's something or someone, it's an idol that will let you down. So we ought to talk about this first. Trusting anything else more than God leads to what? Being let down. Why? Because if I expect somebody else to meet a need in my life that only God can meet, I'm going to be disappointed. And we have these thoughts all the time. If I could just get married, I would be happy. You people who are laughing, I can read your mind. If I wasn't married... Yeah, it's not so funny when your wife or husband is looking at you. You were laughing, and now he says that's you. No, we all have this idea. If I could just find the right person, my life would be totally fulfilled. If I could just get this job, if I could just make this much money, if I made this much money, I would feel significant. If I could just feel good about myself, it would be fantastic. No, because whoever it is or whatever it is going to let you down. Look what Jeremiah says. Those who make idols are disillusioned. Why are they disillusioned? Because an idol always lets you down. The Bible in the book of Hebrews says, of what value is an idol? For he who makes it trusts in his own creation. I went to Tanzania years ago and watched an idol maker. He had a little piece of ebony wood about that tall, not that big around, and he carved away everything that didn't look like the God he was creating. And then the thought of him bowing down and worshiping that and asking that God to bring significance and strength and certainty to his life, I would think is the most foolish thing in the world. It was wood. You got it out of the brush, and you came and you made it look like that, and now you're giving it power to help you. It's not going to work. And yet, we do it all of the time. We take our careers and our relationships, our banking account, we take whatever is most significant to us and believe that it will bring meaning and self-worth into our life. And the Bible says when you do that, you will be disillusioned. Look at this scripture. The poor, deluded fool is trusting in something that can give him no help at all. And yet, he can't bring himself to ask, is this thing, this idol, a lie? Yes, it is. Ultimately, if you put anything or anyone before God, it's going to disappoint you and disillusion you. The second thing here, trusting anything more than God leads to being lorded over, ruled over. Because the Bible says you were controlled. It's in charge of you. You were controlled by what? Dead idols who led you astray. So whatever is first place in your life, whatever you value the most, controls you. I would suggest as your pastor that you make that decision about what is first very carefully, because it is going to be in control of your life. It is going to drive your decisions, your happiness, your security, your courage, your motive for whatever you do. Whatever is first place in your life. Look what the Bible says. Those who make idols end up like them, and so does everyone who trusts them. So if I make money the most important thing in my life, I become a materialist. And I measure my self-worth and the joy of my life by how much I have and how much more I want, and I stay disappointed. And then, if I make pleasure the most important thing in my life, we live in a city that promises pleasure. Come to Las Vegas for fun. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, and you and I who fly out of this city know that's not true. They take it home with them. But when you become a person who's motivated by pleasure, well, I just want to party. I just want to have fun. I just want to have a good time. Girls just want to have fun. That's how dated I am. Me and Cindy like that, all right? You're a hedonist. A hedonist. Because a hedonist just wants to have fun. And then when you come to that place of say, you know, well, I just value what works. Well, now you're a pragmatist. And nothing works all the time. And if you value Jesus the most, you become a Christian. And he does work all the time. You see, when we start trusting on all of these other things to give our life meaning and significance, we show our immaturity. What we are trying to do, we want to create a God, little g, we want to create a God or an idol that we can control. We want to shrink God down so we can manage him. I want to say, God, this is your box. And you are in charge of everything in this box in my life. But don't get out of the box. Now, there may be a time when I'm away from the box and I have a crisis. And I really need you to get me out of this crisis. So I'm going to call you and now you have permission to get out of the box and rescue me, but when you've rescued me, get back in the box. See, what we want is not a God, we want a genie. We want a genie that will serve us, not a God that we are called to serve. I want a God, I want to assign him his place. And God says, you don't assign me my place. The Bible is very clear. Scripture says God does not dwell in temples made by man. Every once in a while I'll hear young parents say to their little boy or girl, don't run in here, this is God's house. Let them run, it's not God's house. Don't let them run real quick down these because they'll fall and skin their nose. But this is not God's house. God's little toenail wouldn't fit in this house. You can't contain God. He is bigger than everything. And God says, I'm not going to be your genie. I'm not going to live in a bottle. Don't reduce me. Don't make me an idol. Don't try to fit me in for your convenience. Ask yourself this question. Do I exist for God or does God exist for me? The way you answer that question gives way to your understanding of God. Do I exist for God? Does he exist for me? Well, to answer that question, let's ask another question. Who made who? God made you. You exist for him. He created you for a relationship with himself. Idols are things that you and I create. God created us, so I exist for him. I exist to have a relationship with him, and I exist to serve him. And so I need to understand God made me for himself, and he calls me to trust him. But why do I have trouble trusting him? Because it's hard to trust somebody you don't know. It's hard to trust somebody that you don't know. A stranger comes up to you and says, here, drink this protein drink and you'll live 50 years longer. What? Who are you? I don't know you. I'm not going to buy into that. I don't know God because I haven't taken the time to find out who he really is. And I buy into these phony ideas that the world tells me about God. For instance, the world tells me that God is like an authority figure, a policeman, but he's all knowing. I've seen some of you, and you need to thank the Lord. Our policemen are not all knowing because you were on your phone, and when he pulled up beside you, you went like this. And he's not all knowing, so he didn't catch you. But God's all knowing. And the thought of God as a cosmic cop who knows everything, and the attitude that the reason that he is the authority figure is he's just trying to figure out how to get you, how to make you pay, how to make you suffer. And that is the image that some people have of God. And by the way, some of you grew up in churches that taught that image. That God's going to get you. And some of you live your life thinking the bad circumstances in my life are because I've disobeyed God and he's punishing me, he's getting me back. No, he's leaving you to the consequences of your own action. But he forgives if you'll let him. The other side of that is the benevolent grandfather, God. And he's this feeble old man that sits in his lazy boy and watches the children misbehave and says, oh, you know, boys will be boys. And that's not God either. And there's Hollywood's version of God, George Burns, walking around with a cigar and sneakers. And he doesn't know any more about the universe and what's going on than you do, and he has some problems too. He hadn't got it all figured out. That's not God. And if those are your attitudes, your understandings of who God is, then you really don't know God. And you don't know how much you matter to him. And if you don't know how much you matter to him and you don't know what he has in store for your life, and if you really don't understand that he has your best interest at heart, then you don't follow what he says. You make a little god that will follow what you say. And you order it around. These images that, you know, we try to trust are so off base. We need to really know what God is like. And we need to know what God says. What God says is, if you don't know the truth about me, you can't trust me. And if you can't trust me, you can't have a relationship with me. Because relationships are built upon truth and trust. And if you don't have truth and trust in relationships, you have all kinds of problems. And all kinds of misery. And all kinds of conflict. And then you begin to feel like, well, I've just got to be in control. And that's going to lead to stress and make you miserable. So God says, I have a better idea. Trust me. But until I learn the truth about God, I can't trust him. So let's talk for a moment about what many people do not understand about God. The reason people trust other things and other people before God means, number one, that they do not know God always tells the truth. God always tells the truth. The Bible says we can completely count on him, for it is impossible for God to lie. Impossible. Can't happen, not going to happen. People ask me, is there anything that God can't do? Yes, God can't lie. Why can't God lie? Because God cannot not be himself. He is the essence of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He can't not be himself, and to lie would mean he's not himself. And so God doesn't contradict himself. He is the essence of truth. And that means you can count on him. And because you can count on him, everything in this book can be depended upon. This is God's word. That's why it's important what you believe about the Bible. I believe the Bible is the word of God. I believe it is the word of God from beginning to end. I don't trust anybody on this planet to take this book and tell me what they think may be and may not be the word of God. Because now you are pretending to be God. And some people would say, well, it's unreasonable just to presume that this book that was written over so many thousands of years could all be true. It's dumber to presume it's not. A book written by so many authors over so many thousands of years that has one objective to bring you and me to God, it's God's book. That's why we call it God's Word. Written by the personalities of people. And it's true. And because it's true, you can believe it. Even though you may not understand it. God says, give me the first part of every paycheck. Well, I don't understand that. It doesn't really matter if you understand it. You obey it because it's true. You're better off when you do that. It's true. God says, put me first in your life. But I don't understand that. I want to do some of these things. But it's true. And your life will be better when you do that. The Bible in Romans 3 says God will continue to be true even when every other person is false. So when God says to do something in the Bible, I'm going to do it because it's true. It may not be popular. It may not be easy. I may not understand it. It might seem like nonsense. But it's true. And he knows more than what goes on in my little pea-bear brain, you know. So, number two, trusting other things before God means that you do not know that God always loves you. He created you to love you. He thought you up to love you. The Bible over and over again says He loves you. You ever wanted to know what God is like? Take a good long look at Jesus. Because He said, I and the Father are one. Jesus said, this is my beloved Son. The Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So Jesus said, the Father and I are one. And God the Father says about Jesus, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. They're both God. And then Jesus comes along and says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And we say that, and people say, well, that's not fair. You're telling me you believe the only way to heaven is through Jesus? Yes, and if you have a problem with that, your problem is not with me. I didn't say it. I just choose to believe it. Jesus said it, and He and the Father are one. They're of the same opinion of this. No man comes to the Father except through Jesus. So if you have a problem with that, you have a problem with Jesus. And I would encourage you to genuinely, seriously check this out. Because if that's not true, Jesus is a liar and everything I stand for is wrong. But if it is true, it's the only way to go to heaven. So before you make some snap decision, well, I'm just not going to believe that. You need to take it to heart. You're betting eternity on that. The Bible says we know how much God loves us, so we have put our trust in Him because God's perfect love drives out fear. His love drives out fear. Why don't we trust God? Because we're afraid. We're afraid to trust God completely. But He tells the truth and He always loves me. And if I can learn that, I can learn to trust Him. The third thing, if I put anything before Him, it means I don't know that He is in control. He is in control. Folks, He could snap this universe out of existence in a moment if He wanted to. Romans 8. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Now, it doesn't say everything is good, and it doesn't say God causes everything. And I look at what happens in our world today. I look at what happened in our city 3 weeks ago. And I think about those children who lost their lives that same night. And I think about drive-by shootings that are happening more and more regularly, not just in our city, but in our world. I think about people who senselessly lose their lives as a result of robbery or murder. And I want you to know that if I lived in that society and was not convinced that my God is in control, I would be scared to death. But I am not scared. Because my God says He can take everything and work it together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Now, does that mean everything that happens is good? No, it's not going to be good in my life. But here's what I believe, that my God is in control and He can take anything as devastating as the Mandalay Bay shooting and He can bring good out of it in my life. I don't see any good in that thing. But I have heard the story since of people who have said, this is what it did to me. And this is how God's using it. I can't make good out of it, but He can. And the tragedies of lost lives, I have seen God bring good out of it. To who? To those who trust Him. It's not to everybody. It's for those who love God. Those who say, God, here, You take the pieces. I'm going to trust You with it. I'm going to put my life in Your hands. You take all of the parts, all of my broken life, and because my God is in control, I can have security. I don't have security. I went to eat with some people the other day, and I don't know why they asked me this, but they said, do you have a particular place you want to sit? I said, well, yeah, right there. They looked at each other and said, oh, I said, what? They said, well, our last pastor would not eat without his back being to a wall either. He must have been a worse guy than me. I don't like my back open to the door. I don't think anybody's after me, but just in case. See, I have my questions and all, but my God is in control. And I know it's easy to say it, but I want to believe that because my God is in control, he can take anything and everything that is in my life and make good come from it. And if I couldn't believe that in a society, and I say this not out of sensationalism, but if I did not believe that my God is in control and live in a society that literally is going to hell in a handbasket, we are on a slippery slope. The things that used to shock us, babies being beaten to death, the drive-by shootings, these are becoming everyday occurrences. We live in a society because of moral decay and the values are gone, but my God is still in control. And man cannot change that. If you have anything in front of God, it means you don't know God will help you. The Bible says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Remember the Lord in all you do, and he will give you success. Proverbs 3. He knows what is best for your life. If you trust him, he will give you success. Notice it says, don't depend on your own understanding. It takes a lot of courage to do what God calls you to do, because sometimes it doesn't make sense and it doesn't seem right. And from your viewpoint, it's never going to be that way. But you trust God. Well, how do I know if I'm trusting God? How long does it take you to do what you know he wants you to do? Because if you trust him, you do it. If you trust him, you step out. Notice what it says in Hosea. They have built idols unto their own destruction. They have built idols unto their own destruction. Remember that God-shaped vacuum? You can put whatever you want to inside of that. Popularity, position, power, money, education. You can put anything you want to inside of that, and nothing is going to fill the emptiness, because it is sized in a way that only trusting God can make it happen. So Jesus stands there with his arms like he did at the cross, and he says, trust me. And if you're willing to say, I'm all in, 100%, and jump into his arms, then he says, all right, I'll take care of you. And I'll make even the bad become good when you trust me. It's your choice. Stand with me and let's pray. Heavenly Father, right now, I know that there are some here today who need to start trusting you, and I pray that you would help them see through the phony ideas of who you are and base their life on the truth about you, not just what people imagine, but what you are, that you love us unconditionally, that you forgive us unendingly, that you strengthen us always, and give us hope and help when we trust you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.